Hi, everyone. Welcome to my podcast, where I explore the science of health, human performance, and ultimate potential. My name is Dr. Greg Wells, and I'm a scientist with a PhD in human physiology. I have served as a professor in kinesiology at the University of Toronto and as a scientist in translational medicine at SickKids Hospital. I've also worked with dozens of Olympic-level athletes through the Canadian Sports Centre Network. In this podcast, I do my best to take complex research and make it understandable and actionable for you to improve your health and well-being and perform to your true potential at whatever it is that you care about the most. In each show, I chat with leading experts in the field of productivity, sleep, nutrition, physiology, and psychology, as well as some of the most exceptional performers across all disciplines. Together, we explore the amplifiers that propel us towards high performance and overcome the obstacles that challenge us. Ultimately, I want to share 1% gains that can make a massive difference in your life. Thank you for listening in, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Let me know your thoughts and comments on social at Dr. Greg Wells. All right, let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Today we get to talk to Dr. Eric Williamson about high-performance nutrition and specifically alcohol. It's on top of everyone's mind recently. Dr. Williamson is a highly respected fitness and nutrition expert with over a decade of experience in the field. He is the founder and head coach of Unlocked Fitness and Nutrition, where he helps clients achieve their fitness and nutrition goals through personalized science-based strategies. He has also been the dietetics lead at my company, Wells Performance, for many years, and we are thrilled to have him on the team. Dr. Williamson has a deep understanding of the body, mind, and performance, and is constantly striving to understand how each change to our lifestyle affects people. He has a PhD in exercise, nutrition, and metabolism from the University of Toronto, as well as a BA in kinesiology and a BSc in nutrition and dietetics from Western University, and multiple certifications in health and wellness, strength and conditioning, and sport dietetics. He's an avid reader of the scientific literature and personally experiments with different diets and exercise programs to gain valuable experience that he then uses to help his clients. And of course, all of us on the show, when we did the interview, we had three topics we wanted to cover, but really just ended up digging deep into alcohol. And I know that that's an area that's been changing a lot. There's one theme that I've seen consistently over the last few years. It's people who are reducing the amount of alcohol that they are drinking. And of course, the nutrition guidelines just changed with regards to alcohol. So there's a lot of questions about this. And so I thought we would dig into it, and we did. So please enjoy this conversation with Dr. Eric Williamson. Dr. Eric Williamson, welcome back, buddy. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Greg Wells. Pleasure to be here as always.
Eric, one of the big things that we've been talking a lot about as I've been moving around and interacting with people all over the world, and this has been going on for a number of years now, probably about for the last 5 years, I've really noticed the number of people that have been reducing the amount of alcohol that they drink and the number of people that are stopping altogether. It's a serious theme. It's definitely relevant here where we are because there are new nutrition guidelines that say that there are much lower levels of alcohol consumption that are safe than what we previously were told. So based on that, and I know that this is something that you have been doing a lot of research on, and it's also something that high performers are definitely considering, would love your thoughts on this particular issue.
Yeah. Well, this has been a conversation because of recent research that's been coming out around alcohol and influencing guidelines. If you notice, before 2022, the guidelines had a range of alcohol intakes that were suggested to be safe and in some cases even healthy. However, now we understand that there is actually no such thing as a safe or healthy intake of alcohol. And the lower our alcohol intake, the better for overall health. Now, our risk compounds with how much we drink. So one drink per day or seven per week, which I will remind people that these are standard drinks, and their standard drink is generally smaller than what would be served in a bar, for example, or what people may pour themselves at home. So do keep in mind that many people are consuming more standard drinks than they realize, Now, the recommendations that I have here are, first of all, just think about your own risk, because this is going to be within the context of other lifestyle factors and genetics. So think about your family history and think about what other lifestyle factors you might be taking risks with. Those who don't exercise are going to be at higher risk of acquiring disease. Those who don't get adequate sleep are going to be at higher risk. There are other risk factors that we can consider and overall weigh our decisions on what risks we are willing to take, because we do. We have to admit that we do as human beings. And then really think about this and think about the benefits that you may get from alcohol if you feel that it helps your quality of life or makes you more social. And then decide, should I drink less? So that's my first recommendation, is just really actually think about it. I think that that's what these guidelines have been helping people do. And I encourage people to stop and think about it. Now, if you do decide, yes, I'm going to continue drinking a certain amount of alcohol, my other recommendations are to drink it slowly, drink it away from bedtime, and drink after meals. Drinking it slowly and after meals will help slow down the absorption, which reduces the impact of alcohol on our body. And then drinking it away from bedtime will reduce its impact on our sleep.
Got it. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering about the effect of alcohol on sleep from your perspective, and what are you seeing in the research?
Well, I know I'm talking to somebody who knows a lot about sleep here as well, so I would love to hear your take. But when we look at the natural sleep cycle, we see that there is almost nothing that will emulate that sleep cycle as far as drugs or natural products, and that includes alcohol. Now, alcohol may result in somebody falling asleep faster if they pass out, right? Or it might help them unwind, they may help fall asleep faster, but they will not go through the natural sleep cycle through those stages as well. They will spend more time in certain stages and not enough time in others. So they will not have as restful of an evening sleep than if they had not had alcohol.
I agree. And basically, what we're seeing is that alcohol wipes out stage three, four deep sleep. So you pass out, but you don't recover or regenerate. The glio-lymphatic system doesn't work. And as a result, you feel rough the next day. What have you found with regards to the effect that alcohol has on our response to physical training? I know a lot of people listening to this show are doing workouts, they're training for events. And I know that they would be curious what your thoughts are about the impact of alcohol on our response to exercise and training.
Yeah. Well, if you look at a lot of past research, you'd see all these negative things. It reduces muscle protein synthesis, which is basically our response to exercise that allows us to recover and adapt to our exercise. So for endurance training, it keeps us coming back faster and lasting longer. For strength training, that it keeps us coming back stronger and our muscles are growing. So muscle protein synthesis is something that's very, very important to adaptations from exercise, and alcohol blunts it quite significantly. You'd also see that it reduces the repair of muscle damage, and it can leave us dehydrated. However, these earlier studies would load them up with alcohol. They were giving them like 6 to 11 drinks in a short time period, and these people were about 60 kilograms, so they were really buzzed here. More recent research is showing that if somebody has 1 to 2 drinks during a training period, they've done this where they have people take 1 to 2 drinks per day versus zero over a 12-week training period, they both have the same enhancements in fitness and performance. And we also ha now have research to show that it doesn't impact muscle damage at a lower dose, and it doesn't impact hydration even at a lower dose. So if we're only consuming 2 to 4 drinks, depending on your body size, then it's unlikely to have an impact on your performance. However, I still maintain those other recommendations: drink it away from bedtime and drink it slowly, drink after meals, and be mindful of when your training is. It's probably better to train the day that you do drink before drinking, rather than expecting yourself to wake up early and go and trudging through a training session the next day.
Eric, I'm curious about any thoughts that you have about the effect of alcohol on mental health. I know that that's top of mind for so many people these days. And if you haven't seen any research on that, I get it. No big deal. I know that there's so many different areas of nutrition to cover, but I'm curious if you have come across anything in that space that has been of interest that we should share with the audience.
It's not something that I've taken a deep dive on, but I know that alcohol overall has a negative impact on mental health. It can worsen depression and anxiety symptoms. So it's something to be aware of. If somebody's mental health is, if they're struggling with their mental health, then they may consider reducing their alcohol, at least for that period of time, even though in a lot of cases it can be perhaps tempting to increase alcohol intake to help us unwind. But we need to remember that that's a short-term band-aid that will result in long-term detriment.
I agree. And it's pretty much what we've been seeing and reading about as well. So many times in the past, we've actually been taught or programmed that we should think that having a drink is actually good for your mental health, when in fact, actually, a significant amount of the data shows that the opposite is true. So my final question about alcohol is about resveratrol, which is a compound found in red wine. It has some antioxidant properties, but I would wonder what your thoughts are on that, because I know a lot of people have talked about resveratrol as a reason to have a glass of red wine. What's your take on that?
Again, not something that I've taken a real deep dive on, but overall, we need to keep in mind that resveratrol can come from other sources as well. You could get it from drinking grape juice. You can get it from eating grapes. You can get it from eating most purple and red fruits and vegetables. So it's found in a lot of other foods other than just alcohol, which we need to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And overall, the benefits of resveratrol do not outweigh the downsides of alcohol. However, if you had to compare red wine to almost any other type of alcohol, you'd have a slightly less negative impact from red wine because of the resveratrol than other types of alcohol.
So to summarize, if you're going to have a drink, maybe red wine's your best option, but in reality, it's basically because you can enjoy the glass of red wine, not because of the resveratrol itself. It is important to note that you can get resveratrol from other sources, grapes, red veggies, purple vegetables, and actually probably in higher concentrations than you would get it in red wine. And this lines up beautifully with what we've been thinking about in the company as well. So that's great that we're able to share that with everyone.
And I think most people drink because they're trying to enjoy themselves. So if you're focusing on enjoyment at the time rather than nutrition, that's understandable. I think just grab whatever drink that you enjoy so that you do indeed enjoy it and have that relaxation, that rejuvenation, rather than worrying too much about whether it has resveratrol in it.
Eric, thanks so much for putting so much context around all of this discussion around alcohol. The recommendations that I'm pulling away from this, if I'm hearing it correctly, are basically limited as much as you can. If you are going to indulge, do so in and around a meal. Try to keep as much space between having a glass of whatever it is that you're having and falling asleep in order for us to be able to maintain our health, but enjoy our lives and not disrupt our sleep. I hope that that's clear and that I've interpreted that the right way.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us and to clarify this subject. I know that it's been top of mind for so many people, and it's definitely a conversation point. So next time, we'll get into cannabis, who knows? But I know that I'm sensitive to your time, and you're super busy right now with your practice exploding after finishing up your doctorate. So congratulations on all of your success. Keep it up. You're doing awesome. And we really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's always great to be back.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Dr. Greg Wells podcast. If you found this show informative and helpful, check out my blog at drgregwells.com for additional insights and resources on health and human performance. I update the blog a couple times a month. To stay up to date on the latest tips, articles, and videos, be sure to follow me on social at Dr. Greg Wells. My goal on social is to keep your health and wellness and positivity at the forefront of your mind, and so I would be thrilled to connect with you there. If you found this episode helpful, please consider subscribing to the podcast. That helps us out a ton. And leave a review. Your feedback is greatly appreciated and helps me to continue to produce valuable content that's relevant to all of you. Please feel free to share this episode with your friends and community. That helps a ton as well. And that brings this week's show to an end. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Have a great week, everyone.